Thank you, Roy, for permission to take that off. And thank you, Mike. Good afternoon, brethren, and welcome to those who are able to be here physically present, sharing fellowship here. And we send our love and fellowship to all of those who are viewing on the webcast as well, welcoming you to God's Sabbath day. As we assemble here on day 49 of the 50-day count to this special holy day God has designated for us all, it seemed very appropriate, and I felt compelled to share this story of a walk that two disciples will never forget. And in thinking about what did our Savior do when he was resurrected, the day he was resurrected, we were talking just the other day, Laura and I, about what Christ may have done when he was resurrected from the tomb at the end of the third day. And he may have been so overwhelmed with gratitude that he could have prayed all night. I would imagine I would want to do that, thanking God for resurrecting him to life, eternal. Not only just resurrecting him to life, but eternal life. But it's interesting to observe the scenario and the story from Luke chapter 24. What happened after the women saw that the tomb was empty? And what happened after Peter ran when he heard what they said to them, that his body was not there? He was risen. The angels told them that he was not there. They told the women, "Why are you seeking the dead, the living among the dead?" So we pick up the story about the two disciples who walked on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, and I'll be sharing most of this from the New American Standard Translation. Luke 24, verse 13. After Peter saw the tomb was empty, he left and went home, and he was wondering about all that had happened. And two other disciples took off to go on a seven-mile journey, a seven-mile walk, to a town, a village called Emmaus. The word Emmaus means warm baths. Were they going for a spa day on the day after they left all the holy days and all the things that happened in Jerusalem around that Passover season? It's interesting, in verse 13 it says, two of them were going that very day, the first day of the week, to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So it would have taken them roughly about two hours to make this trek at 3 to 4 miles an hour walking. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had just taken place. While they were talking and discussing all this, Jesus himself began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. They had no idea who they were talking with. And he said to him, "What are these words," verse 17, "what are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you're walking?" And they stopped. They stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered him and said, are you the only person visiting Jerusalem and unaware of all the things that just happened here in the last few days? And Jesus said to them, of all the things he could have said, what things? What things happened? And they said to him, the things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, now it's the third day since all these things had happened. When they were talking to him, it was actually the first day of the week, the fourth day. 3 days ago, they said this happened. But also, some of the women among us amazed us. When they were at the tomb early that morning, they didn't find his body, and they came. And they said that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. You can imagine all that Jesus was feeling under his breath, listening to them, their reaction to all of this that they were saying. He said, these women didn't find their body, and they saw this vision. And some of those who went to the tomb, speaking of Peter, had gone to the tomb. They found it exactly as the women had said, but him, Jesus, they did not see, verse 24. And Jesus said to them, O you foolish men and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then Jesus, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Yet they still didn't know who he was. He explained to them all the prophecies, and there are over 350 at least prophecies referring to Christ the Messiah in the Old Testament. According to biblical scholars, he talked to them about the passages like Deuteronomy 18, where it says, the Lord your God will raise, verse 15 and 16, he will raise up for you. Moses was saying through God's inspiration that he was telling the Israelites that God would raise up a prophet like me from among you, from you fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked. This is what you asked God for at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, don't let us hear your voice anymore, or the voice of the Lord God, or this great fire, or we will die. Or the passages like in Psalms 22 that spoke of Jesus, his thoughts through the inspiration of David when he said, the dogs have surrounded me, and a band of evildoers are around me. They pierced my hands and feet. These prophecies that Jesus himself knew of and knew what he was going to be looking forward to. And he's explaining this to these two disciples walking, taking this two-hour journey to Emmaus. David said in verse 17, Psalm 22, Jesus tells them that I could count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. Also Isaiah 9, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. Jesus is telling them about these prophecies. You can't imagine the magnitude of his heart sharing this with them on the road, talking about himself, these prophecies of who he was, and he was living it. He was living it himself as the Messiah on this first day, again resurrected as a human being. And he was telling of Isaiah 9, where the government would be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the greatness of his government, there will be no end. He could have told them of the greatness of my government, because of my Father's power and resurrection, there will be no end. But he held back, because he knew the zeal of the Lord God Almighty, his Father, would accomplish this in verse 7. And Isaiah 7:14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and call him God with us, Emmanuel. And he's telling this to the men on the road, knowing that he was God with them. They didn't realize it yet. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners," Isaiah 61, 1. And Jesus is telling them about the prophecy in Isaiah 25, where it says, "He will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that spread over all nations, and he will swallow up death forever." How could he hold back from telling them who he was walking on this road to Emmaus, when he knew that his life that he just gave was the reason that death would be swallowed up forever, and that the Lord God, he and his Father, would wipe away all tears from every face, from all faces. "The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken." He probably shared with them as well Isaiah 53, where he was a man of sorrows, numbered with transgressions. He was numbered with the criminals. Or how about Micah 5, verse 2? "But you, speaking of Bethlehem, though you're small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel." He knew, as he's talking to them about all these prophecies, that he was the one walking along the road with these disciples. He was the one who would be the ruler over Israel, whose origins, Micah 5, 2, are from old, from ancient times. I wonder if he told them about what he said in Matthew 12, 40, when he said, "Just like Noah, as it was for him 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." How much did he want to tell them? "I was just in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights." But he waited. And as they approached, verse 28 of Luke 24, as they approached the village where they were going, he acted as though he was going to go further. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it's getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he did. He went in to stay with them. And when he had reclined at the table, verse 30, with them, he took bread and blessed it, because he had already told them, "I am the way, I am the bread of life, I am the truth, I am the life." And he took that bread, verse 30, reclining at the table with them, and he blessed that bread and broke it, and he began giving that bread to them. And verse 31 tells us, then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. He disappeared instantly after he gave them that bread. What a Kodak moment that must have been. They're having dinner with him, and he vanished before their eyes. They said to one another, looking at each other, "Weren't our hearts burning within us while he was speaking with us on the road?" You can imagine their hearts burning within them, saying, how does this man know about all these prophecies? They must have thought, it's almost like he lived them himself. He's telling us of all these prophecies about himself. Is he a teacher, a rabbi, or something? They must have thought something like that, that caused their hearts to burn within themselves. While he was speaking with us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us. So they finished dinner, verse 33, and they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found, you can imagine how fast did they go from their place in Emmaus to go back to Jerusalem. I bet they ran. I bet they got there quicker than 2 hours. That 7-mile journey was probably something they wanted to get there so fast, because they found gathered together the 11, verse 33, and those that were with them, saying, "The Lord really has risen and has appeared to Simon." He appeared to Peter already. And they began to relate their experiences on the road, how they met this man on the road who told them about all this. They related their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. As soon as he broke the bread, we said we recognized him, and he disappeared from our eyes. Verse 36, while they were telling all this, Jesus himself appears in the room. How fabulous was this? While they were relating all of this story about their journey, he himself stood in their midst and said, "Peace be unto you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they were seeing a spirit. And he said, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See, look at my hands and feet. It's me. It is I myself. Touch and see. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Even though they saw his hands and feet, while they still could not believe it, they still couldn't believe it. Because, why? Because they were overjoyed with amazement. Because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, "Do you have anything to eat? Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. He ate the broiled fish in their presence. And then he says to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you when I was still with you." The things that he had told Cleopas and the other disciple on the road, and the things that he was telling them. "This is what I told you, that all the things written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, all those prophecies we just related to, they must be fulfilled." He was telling them. Then, verse 45, it says, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. They were so filled with amazement and joy, it was like they couldn't understand what he had been saying for 30-some years. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, "This is what was written, that Christ would suffer, the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day." Why? "And that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name." In his name. By the authority that we just prayed in. Thank you to Mr. Tower. In his name, by his authority, to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Verse 48, and he said to them, "And you All of you are witnesses, face-to-face eyewitnesses of all these things. And then he told them, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. That is why we counted up today the 49th day and tomorrow the 50th day, because he told them, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you stay here in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. What power was that that we will memorialize and celebrate tomorrow? 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 5. Peter was telling us and those in that day, blessed be the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy, that he was just telling his disciples when he appeared out of nowhere to them, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection that they just witnessed face to face. Through the resurrection of the dead, verse 4, to obtain the purpose of the resurrection was that we might obtain an inheritance that is imperishable and completely pure, undefiled, that will never fade away, reserved in heaven for you, Peter says. You who are, verse 5, you who are protected by the power of God. We are protected by the power of God. That's why he told them to wait for the promise of the Father, protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation, verse 5, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's why we need to memorialize this giving, this promise of the Father tomorrow, this power of the Spirit that we celebrate and memorialize tomorrow, that we have the privilege of living in us and sharing because of this blessing of the holy day of Pentecost. What power is this that we've been given? We know it's described in Galatians 5, this spirit of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness, goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control, the total opposite of everything else we see in the world around us. The powers of darkness that live in the world around us. But we have the powers of light. Then Jesus, when he was in them, with them in the room, telling them to wait for the promise of the Father, he led them out as far as Bethany, near Jerusalem, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. He asked for God's blessing on them because he knew what they would be doing in 50 days, waiting for the promise of the Father. While he was blessing them, he parted from them, verse 50, Luke 24, and he was carried up into heaven, and they, after worshiping him, notice what they did. They worshiped him as he was carried up into heaven. Then they returned from Bethany to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. That's what they did from the next day after Christ was risen. That's what they did for the 50 days that they were counting. They were continually in the temple praising God. Isaiah tells us in chapter 26, verse 3 and 4, because of this power, we can hold on to and stand on this promise. The steadfast of mind you, God, will keep in perfect peace. God will keep the steadfast in mind, those who are steadfast and who looked for the promise of the Father, who waited for it, who let it live in them. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trusting in the Lord forever, Isaiah 26, verse 4. For in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock, our refuge. I like verse 7. The way of the righteous, Isaiah 26, verse 7, it's smooth because of the Spirit, this power, the promise of the Father. Even though the afflictions of the righteous are many, the way of the righteous is smooth. The upright one, O upright one, make the path of the righteous level, Isaiah is writing. Indeed, while following the way of your judgments, when we use this power to follow the way of his judgments, our path is smooth and level. We have waited for you eagerly. Your name, even your memory. That's what we celebrate tomorrow. The memory of what Jesus told them walking this 7-mile trip to the town of Emmaus. Even your memory is the desire of our souls. Interesting, we were looking at this yesterday. Come, verse 20, Isaiah 26, verse 20. God says, come, my people, enter into your rooms. Close the doors behind you and hide for a little while until indignation runs its course, according to the New American Standard Translation. It's almost like we feel like we've been stuck away in our rooms with the doors closed, hiding out from the darkness that's prevailing in the world around us. Hide for a little while until indignation runs its course. Verse 21, for behold, the Lord, the Eternal, is about to come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. I have to give credit to Laura for sharing this concept with me this morning. Or I think it was yesterday, actually, that it does not matter what we face or what is in front of us as long as we know who is behind us. Doesn't matter what's in front of us as long as we remember and know who is behind us. We know the power of the promise of the Father is with us, and he will never forsake us, right? Let's close with Colossians 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Jesus Christ, the Lord, so walk in him. Colossians 2, verse 6. As we've received him, which is what we have based on the power, the promise of the Father, his Spirit that lives in us, that abides in us, and we abide in him, so walk in him, just like he walked with the two disciples along the road for 7 miles. Verse 7, having been firmly rooted and now built up in him and established in your faith. He establishes us in our faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Have a blessed Sabbath and a fantastic holy day of Pentecost tomorrow.